Today's first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we hear of the rather stunning conversion of St. Paul, one of the most astonishing events in the history of Christianity, because of the zeal and the fervor that Saul was going about persecuting the church. To understand a little bit of Saul's mindset in his persecution of the church, it's helpful to know a little bit of his background, that Saul, as a young man born in Tarsus, came to Jerusalem when he was probably about 12 or 13 years old, to study under the very prestigious and renowned Pharisee named Gamaliel. And there Saul was taught and trained to be a real zealot for the law. He would have been, you could say, probably the best of the best in his training, and he was filled with zeal to apply the law of God in all places and all circumstances. And further, being a well-trained Pharisee, Saul also knew the history of Israel, that when the people would give themselves over to idolatry, they typically would be occupied by a foreign nation. And so here Saul was living in a time when Jerusalem was under Roman occupation, and he hears of these band of Christians following the way, who are preaching Jesus Christ raised from the dead, and Saul sees them as being blasphemers and idolaters. And further, he sees that their blasphemy is something that he considers to be the cause of the occupation which they are currently undergoing. And so with full zeal and fervor, he goes about trying to stomp out the early church and Christianity. And with that in mind, his conversion and encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus again marks as one of the most stunning developments in the whole history of Christianity. There's two particular moments in Saul's conversion that we read about in the Acts that I'd like to highlight this morning. The first one is that when Jesus appears to Saul, he says to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And we could imagine that in Saul's mind, perhaps, he could have been thinking to himself, "Well, I remember being there to martyr Stephen. I remember persecuting members of the church and followers of the way. But I don't ever remember persecuting Jesus directly." And there what Saul learned is that Jesus so closely identifies himself with the church and with us, with the Christians, that ultimately he says, "What you do to them, you are doing to me." And from that, Saul, or as he is known as Paul following his conversion, will go on to develop his beautiful analogy that the church is truly the body of Christ with whom Jesus identifies himself completely. The second feature from the reading has to do with the baptism of Saul. And namely, when Saul is blinded by the light of Jesus, he loses his sight, and significantly, he only regains it back at the moment of his baptism. In the ancient church, the sacrament of baptism was called the sacrament of illumination, because it was a moment of passage from darkness and death to light and life. And to that extent, Paul will later go on to write that whatever he knew before, he counted as a loss before what he gained and learned in Jesus Christ. Paul's baptized, his sight is restored, and now he is initiated into the newness of life in Jesus Christ, whereby he can truly say, "I see. I understand what my life is supposed to be about. I understand what the mission of my life is going to be." And he turns from being a fervent persecutor of the church to being the greatest evangelist of all time. Today's gospel, we hear Jesus rather astonishingly telling his followers and those who are in the crowd listening to him that his flesh is truly intended to be true food and his blood true drink. And when he's challenged on it, Jesus does not back away and say, no, I meant it metaphorically, I was only making an analogy. He repeats three times, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not have eternal life." It really is a concrete teaching of Jesus on his real substantial presence in the Eucharist. And in light of those two points that we made with respect to the conversion of Saul, namely the identification of Jesus with us, and secondly, being baptized into the newness of life in Christ, the Eucharist for us then becomes the way that we are joined to Jesus, and through which then we are going to be able to step through the passage of death into the newness of resurrected life in the Lord Jesus, something which utterly surpasses our own human capabilities, and the only way it's possible is to be grafted into Jesus Christ so that we can share in that newness of life and resurrection. And that truly is what the Eucharist is about, that in being united to Jesus, in being in communion with Him, we then in Him have the power to overcome sin and death through Jesus Christ and to walk toward the newness of resurrected life. And so, my brothers and sisters, as we go forward today, let us ask God for the grace that our hearts would always be filled with gratitude that Jesus so closely identifies Himself with us, that we too then can identify ourselves with Him. And in that identification, that we can share in the newness of life and resurrection that He comes to offer us. Amen.